Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here with you.
Yeah, good to be back. We had Dr. Michael Brown here last Sunday.
Yes.
So that's kind of an interesting show from a very interesting guy.
Yeah.
With a great testimony and a very interesting ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, I'd again suggest, when you have time, to go to askdrbrown.org, and he's got really a lot of amazing stuff there. But, here we are 2 weeks after Easter weekend, just about.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago was Good Friday. It's already 2 weeks since Good Friday.
Yeah.
Wow. And, of course, the resurrection, which took place on what we call Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday or whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
And as I like to point out, it was on the Hebrew Feast of First Fruits that year.
And it's important to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because if he doesn't rise from the dead,
yes,
our faith is in vain.
Amen. And we're the most pathetic of all people.
Exactly. So,
because we're walking around pretty, without really much to talk about, because we're talking about a dead man.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can talk about a lot of dead men.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
We know that he's alive, and it's interesting at this time of year, not only do you hear the word hallelujah all the time, but, the greeting Christ is risen, and somebody answers he is risen indeed.
Yes.
Because this is such an important time, and it's such a powerful sign that confirms his life, his teaching, his saving act, who he is, and it just confirms everything about him.
Yeah. Yeah, in which you say about, when someone says Christ is risen, and you respond, indeed he is risen, or he is risen indeed, that was a greeting that the early Christians would greet each other with.
Yeah, exactly.
And so everybody knew the, the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
And today, sadly, not so many people know the dialogue.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I was at a mass where the priest said that at the end of mass, he said the beginning of mass, I'm sorry, and nobody responded and said anything.
Yeah.
So he explained to the whole congregation.
Yeah, I think the Eastern Christians are much more ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
Like all my Greek friends have been coming into my office and, saying Christ is risen in Greek, Christos Anesti.
Hey.
Because I've learned that over the years. Christos, I don't remember how to say he is risen indeed. I used to know that at one time, but it's pretty neat.
Well, it's kind of like when Jesus wrote the seven letters to the seven churches, or when John got the vision on Patmos, that we've lost the whole zeal of this great event in human history that we celebrate.
Yeah. We lost the first love.
Yeah, and that Jesus is risen from the dead. And what does that mean for us?
Yeah.
If he dies and doesn't rise again, not him, not the one.
Well, Steve, we're living, as we always say, we're living in a very exciting time.
Yeah.
But it's also a very secular time.
Oh, yeah.
It's also a very dark time, certainly in the Western world.
Yeah.
Not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
In Africa, the churches are booming. In Asia, the churches are booming. In Latin America, the churches are booming.
Right.
But, boy, if you take the U.S. and Canada and Western Europe, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And
plummeting.
Yeah, it's, the great falling away is happening before our eyes.
Yeah, the apostasy, yeah.
I mean, I've been a believer for just about 20 years, and when I think back on all the places I used to go in my early days, you could always find a Wednesday night church service to go to, a Sunday night church service to go to, a prayer meeting somewhere on just about any night you wanted. Now it's really hard to find a place to go, and places that used to have a few hundred people, a couple thousand people, now have, 20 people or 30 people. And you see it happening all across the spectrum.
Yeah, there is there's a lack of zeal, but there's a lack of even inquiring as to what's this all about? Why do I need to know about this Jesus that rose from the dead?
Yeah. I mean, and there's been such a demonic attack, such a demonic influence on our culture mm-hmm. that this greatest event in human history, encapsulated by his death on the cross and his resurrection, mm-hmm. now just seems like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know about that stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember learning about that when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's Easter, you know.
Yeah, you have to wonder if we're really living in that time of the book of Revelation where it yeah. says, you know, right will be wrong and wrong will become mm-hmm. right.
Well, you know, when you think about it that way, when you think about what your life really is and where your life is headed, mm-hmm. what could be more important than being saved?
It's exactly.
Be, I mean, you know, like Jesus said, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, that doesn't do you much good.
It doesn't profit you anything, right?
Because, you know, 10 billion years from now, you'll be in torment somewhere saying, yep, once I controlled the whole world, but mm-hmm. look at me now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
but you know, here, anything that comes up is more important than going to church,
right.
going to the prayer group, going to the Bible study. I mean, whatever it is,
yeah.
having your personal Bible study time or your personal prayer time or whatever it is, because mm-hmm. any little thing that comes up,
yeah.
you say, oh, I got to do that yeah. now.
Yeah. And you know, you bring up a good point there because certainly there's times where you do have to take care of something that
sure,
you have
of course.
To do.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're choosing what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, that's really our test.
Yeah.
Are you going to follow me?
Yeah.
Are you or not?
Yes.
Because I think one of the hardest things for people who, for anybody who's walking with the Lord that don't have much spiritual maturity is that subtle call or that subtle path that God has us on where it's the opportunity to say yes
mm-hmm.
and we don't recognize it and mm-hmm. we dismiss it and we move on to the next thing and there's another opportunity to do something
mm-hmm.
and we dismiss that and then we, you know, some people, I think you probably know some people as well like this as well, they go, yeah, I really want to be used by the Lord. I really wish he would use me. And if you ask them what happened in the day, they'll tell you about all these things that happened. And if you have some insight and you ask the Lord for some wisdom, you'll see, oh, you had an opportunity to serve the Lord there. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to serve the Lord there.
Yeah.
But you said no.
Right. That's right.
Well, what He's, do you mean?
Yeah. He's called you seven times and you didn't,
he didn't answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
now he might not call you for a while.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And then there's another bunch of people that are kind of secretly hoping he's not going to call them to do something.
Do we know anybody like that?
Yeah, can't I just go to church on Sunday morning like a normal person?
Yeah.
And not do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, please don't send me. Yeah, it's like.
And people say to me all the time, why can't you just be normal? Why can't you just go to church on Sunday like a normal person? And I say, who wants to be a normal person?
Well, really, what we're doing is normal because we should be proclaiming that Christ is risen. We should yeah. be proclaiming the gospel. And, you know, if somebody gives, like it's like scripture says, we need to be ready to give an account of our faith.
Yes. 1 Peter 3:15.
Yeah. And the life of a disciple, sometimes I think sometimes it gets over glorified, but it's usually a very simple life
mm-hmm.
where you're just serving the Lord in a meek and humble way. And sometimes he calls those simple disciples
yes.
to greatness.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head with discipleship. I mean, discipleship is much different than, oh, on Sunday mornings I go at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, discipleship, actually we get the word discipline from the mm-hmm. word disciple.
Right. Right.
And, you know, Jesus himself, Luke chapter 9, I can think of right offhand, you know, tells people, you know, being a disciple is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, follow me. Well, first, let me go bury my father. Well, you know, forget that.
Yeah.
You know, let the dead bury the dead. Oh,
right.
First, let me go say bye to everybody. Well, okay, you lose. Yeah, because, you know, right. I'm calling you now.
Right.
And he says,
right.
you know, you go and preach the kingdom.
Yeah.
So, you know, the gospel's always urgent.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. Not only, you know, we tend to think in terms of, you know, how much longer is the world going to be here like mm-hmm. we know it, or. But it's even a matter of you're talking to somebody face to face. It's urgent because that person could die tomorrow.
Mm,
that person could die right after he walks away from you.
Right.
you know, he may die a month from now. And as he's laying there, he's thinking, gee, I was talking to this guy, Steve, who told me all this weird stuff. And maybe there was something to that. And, mm-hmm. you know, you may save him.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Yeah. But, it, you know, people don't like to do that kind of thing because you also hear the thing, well, my faith is a private matter.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think you'll find anywhere in the Bible that your faith is a private matter.
No.
In fact, Jesus says you should shout it from the rooftops.
Yeah. What did he tell the scribes and Pharisees when he comes into the city of Jerusalem that we talked about a couple months ago? Hey, if they don't proclaim it, these rocks are going to proclaim it. If they don't shout out Hosanna to the Son of David, these rocks are going to cry out Hosanna to the Son of David. All creation will cry out.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we get lulled into the trap of, well, there's always tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have another day. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to anybody.
That's right.
I mean, you know, most of us are going to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow morning, and the same thing's going to happen the next day and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that's not guaranteed mm-hmm. to anybody.
And yeah, and we're living in a wholly different world than even a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Things are happening very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, you know, falling away that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's full-blown apostasy going on, like Paul talks right. about. There's full-blown rejection of truth. There's all kinds of crazy stuff being preached.
Yeah.
That, you know, like we always say, if you're not grounded in the Word,
mm-hmm.
you'll go along with any, you know, any kind of current that goes by, any kind of flashy guy who says something.
Or, yeah.
And you have to be very careful about that. You have to have discernment. You know, just because somebody in a shiny suit is making some proclamation that, you know, when you're listening to it, if you're not grounded, you could say, wow, that's pretty amazing.
You can get all enthralled by it.
Yeah. But if you're grounded in the Word, you say, wait a minute, he can't say that.
Right.
And, exactly. you know, then you go on. I mean, that's discernment. And Jesus talks a lot about discipleship, and my favorite, of course, is, you know, the Great Commission, making disciples mm-hmm. and baptizing them. And, but all these things come because of the death and resurrection.
Yep.
And, you know, we want to talk about resurrection for who knows how many shows, probably at least a couple, but,
at least until Pentecost.
At least until Pentecost. Woo! Then that's a whole nother story.
Exactly.
But, you know, and to keep in mind, and we're going to start with something here in a second. We'll eventually get to today's lesson.
It's been a long intro to the show, hasn't it?
Send all your emails to Stephen.
Stephen, gift of grace. I don't get any emails. Phil gets them all, so send some to me.
Yeah. There's apparently a lot of people in Africa and in Pakistan and in Turkey listening to our show, but not too many people in Greater Cleveland or Greater Youngstown.
That's what the word is. So. Yeah.
But anyway, but keeping in mind, when we talk about resurrection, we're not talking about Jesus coming in some cosmic appearance in front of everybody. His body was resurrected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And his body was, as we've always said, a real body with real heredity, with real bodily function, just like we have.
Mm-hmm.
He's like us in all things but sin. Paul talks about how he has the appearance of sinful flesh. He's not, of course. But in my favorite book, Romans, he talks about how sin is condemned in the flesh. Jesus has the appearance of sinful flesh, but doesn't have the sin.
Right.
But his body was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary.
Right.
It was a real body.
Right.
Developed just like a normal baby develops.
Like any other human being.
Was delivered. Just like any other baby's delivered. It wasn't that miraculous. She was having contractions. She was probably screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph was probably flipping out because he didn't know what to do.
Get some water. Get some towels. Oh, no,
it was then a body that had to be nurtured, had to grow up. Then that same body died mm-hmm. after a horrible, brutal execution that was very painful. Was very bloody. It was not some cosmic illusion. It was a real death.
Right.
That body died. That body was put into the grave. And that same body came out of the grave in a glorified state. You know, some people didn't recognize him when he came out.
Right.
Because he looked a little different. But it was a glorified body. That same body ascended into heaven. So what we're talking about when we talk about the resurrection is the resurrection of his body, which is the ultimate sign.
Right.
His spirit, as the second person of the Trinity, didn't die on the cross.
Right.
His body died.
Right.
But then his physical human body was resurrected.
Right.
And he went back into heaven with it.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, though, he still has the nail marks.
Right.
And the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, people who...
As tradition tells us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's certainly a point to that because someday we're going to see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a really cool song. I can't remember the name of it. But the one of the words is, I'm going to see the hands that took the nails for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't think.
Yeah, I can't think of where it is, but I'll think of it later. But, you know, we're going to see that. It's a resurrection of the body.
Right.
And someday our bodies are going to rise. We're going to have glorified bodies. I like to think mine's going to have hair. But and if it doesn't, I don't care. We're gonna, our glorified bodies are going to join our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully for all of you in heaven.
Right.
But if you're in hell, it's going to join you in hell too.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it's going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, it's really no different than any other time that God sent prophets and that God has sent apostles to preach the good news or to preach the kingdom of God is near. You know, when the man asked Lazarus to, you know, send Moses to, you know, to tell them to.
Yes, Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers.
Send Lazarus to his brothers that they would believe. And he said, well, if somebody rises from the dead, they're not going to believe.
Yeah. If you don't believe Moses and the prophets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something we're going to talk about if we get to the lesson. But there's another interesting thing now that you mention that, and I have to say this because it's so interesting because, you know, as you know, as those of you listening know, we are very much into teaching from the Tanakh, teaching the Old Testament and how it applies to the New Testament. But there's a passage in John's Gospel. It's toward the end. It's at the end of chapter 5 where these guys are obsessed with asking Jesus where his authority comes from. And Jesus says to him, well, you know, it's not me who condemns you before the Father. It's Moses who you guys honor who condemns you because Moses talked about me. Mm. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but I don't want to take too much time to find it. It's the end of John chapter 5 because Moses and the prophets all point to him. And it says, do not think, here it is, it's chapter 5, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me.
Yeah.
So he's telling them all these things that you guys have studied in the Torah and the prophets are about me.
All these
now,
shadows.
Now, you don't want to listen to me. You don't want to hear my teaching. You don't want to believe me.
Yeah.
So Moses is going to condemn you before the Father, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh, I hear Paul Wilbur.
Yeah, is he
Remember,
here?
Go to WilburMinistries.com and order some stuff. Anyway, we'll be right back, but also check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org.
For the returning of our King, come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense
as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, even so, even so, Lord Jesus, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, even so, even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Love that song.
Oh.
Anyway, I think we should get to the lesson now.
Yeah.
That was just, that was the preface.
Yeah.
To talk about resurrection.
Yes.
And we're going to start with the evening of Resurrection Day, which was, this would have been actually in Hebrew terms the following day because it happens after sundown, but we would call it Sunday night, and it happens in the upper room. And you could find this in Luke 24. Steve's going to read in a second. You could find this in Luke 24, and it comes at the end of the account of the road to Emmaus, which is pretty cool, but we're not going to do the road to Emmaus today because we've done that a lot.
We've done that before.
Yeah, we've done that. Yeah. Anyway. So, Stephen, why don't you read...
I'm going to start at 36.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think it goes to what we were talking about in the preface of this. So, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy, they were amazed and asked him, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high."
Whew.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. This is the upper room. And we talk about resurrection of the body. You know, he comes into their midst, which is pretty neat. And what's the first thing he says? You know, peace be with you.
Yeah, peace be with you.
Shalom be with you. You know, he comes to give them peace.
Right.
They've had a pretty rough weekend. They've had a pretty rough weekend starting Thursday night.
Right.
With this kind of unusual Seder that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Had a very difficult night and through the day Friday.
Yeah.
The Sabbath that they had on Saturday was who knows how they were, where they were.
Yeah.
I mean, they were stunned at everything that had happened. Then they heard these stories about, you know, he wasn't in the grave. They went, looked in the grave, tomb. He wasn't in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he is. And the first thing he says is, peace be with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me when they're on the Sea of Galilee and there's the storms.
Right.
And their boat's being buffeted around and they think they're all going to die and they're trying to row. And, you know, they see Jesus walking over the water.
Right.
Toward them. And they think it's a ghost. You know, they say the same thing. Ah, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
And he says, no, get a grip. It's me.
Yeah.
don't, but yeah, you guys got to relax a little bit here.
Yeah.
But, the interesting thing is, you know, the problem that they had was the water was rough and the wind was blowing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is coming right into the midst of the problem. You know, he's walking on what their problem is.
Yeah.
You know, the wind's blowing all around him, but, you know, the wind's not blowing him over or messing up all his robes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's just walking on the water
because
he's coming to them on top of what their problem is.
Yeah.
And he says, don't be afraid.
Right.
You know, here, their problem is we had our teacher, we had our master, we knew he was Lord. We've been following him for 3 years. Then they killed him. They put him in the grave. You know, some people say he's not in the grave. We don't know exactly what's going on.
Right.
And all of a sudden he comes and says, peace. You know, it's me.
Yeah.
Because the first thing they think of is, oh, it's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spirit. And he says, again, get a grip. Come and touch me. You're going to see that I have flesh and bone. This is what I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is the resurrection of the body.
Right.
Our bodies have flesh and our bodies have bone.
It wasn't an apparition.
That's right.
It wasn't.
That's right. It wasn't a vision.
A vision.
It wasn't some cosmic projection.
Yeah.
It was a body.
It was a body.
It was a man standing there who, if you touched him, you would have felt his bones and his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, glorified body, you know, apparently doesn't have blood. You know, his blood was, he was pretty much exsanguinated during this horrible death of his. But, you know, he says, I've got bone and I've got flesh. So he proves to them that he's there in bodily form. This is really him. And then just to give them another sign, because of course they're standing there in absolute amazement, he says, do you have anything to eat?
Yeah.
So, you know, they open the refrigerator and find some fish that, you know, they had left over. And, you know, he takes a piece of fish and he eats it in their presence. Now, you're not going to find a cosmic projection or a spirit being who's going to take a piece of food and eat it. But he takes a piece of food and eats it.
Yeah.
And they see him do it.
Right.
Now, this is a very human thing to do. This is something that your body does. Your body takes food in, and there's a certain way that you put the food in your mouth and you chew it and you swallow it. And they see him do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing because now they're just totally blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're excited, but they're also confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because, wait a minute, you know, we just saw him dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's standing here telling us shalom and he's eating a piece of fish. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if we go back to when Thomas was doubting, the story that happened, Jesus comes the very next, was it the very next day or?
Following week.
Following week. And, what does he tell Thomas? He meets Thomas right where he's at.
Exactly.
Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hand. Put your finger in the nail mark. Put your hand in my side.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be unbelieving, but be believing.
Mm-hmm.
So Thomas touches and feels the nail marks and the soldier's lance in his side. he's touching his body, his resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
And right after he eats the fish, you know, going back to what you said earlier about that parable of the rich man and Lazarus about, you know, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe that somebody would rise from the dead.
Right.
What does he do? He does another Bible study. He had just done one with those guys on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
And those guys actually are in this room. Because if you remember, at the end of that Emmaus passage, they run back to Jerusalem. You know, they kind of trudged to Emmaus over a period of time while they were listening to his Bible study. Then they got so excited after he broke the bread and they recognized him that they ran all the way back to the upper room where Peter and the other guys were.
Yeah.
They ran back and they start to tell them, oh, we've seen the Lord. They go, yeah, you know, we heard about it. Then he stands there and people yell, it's a ghost. You know, they had just seen him.
Right.
But then, you know, right. They yell, it's a ghost. So just like he did a Bible study with them, he says now, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So what he's saying is, you guys have heard the scriptures all your lives, and I've been telling you that all of these scrolls talk about me. So he explains to them how when you read Moses, which is the law, you read the prophets, and he even does the Psalms,
because mm-hmm.
David right. has a lot of prophecy in the Psalms.
Yeah.
This is what I told you, that they're about me, all these things.
Yeah.
And so he opens their understanding
yeah.
so that they finally get this.
Yeah. Yeah, he opens their minds because their minds are closed.
Yeah.
You know, many times, and we talked about this before the show, is many times we're in a place of really bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're focused on the here and now, and we're not seeing, we don't see beyond what we can understand or think or feel,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But Jesus comes, you know, in John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens their minds that they're able to understand the truth. The word of God in all of its fullness, because he is the fulfillment of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And without them being able to understand that he's the fulfillment of it, how could they go out to start to preach?
Yes. Good point.
You know?
He says, you guys are going to go out and yeah. you're going to preach this to all the nations. You know, if you look, it uses the word nations, which means he doesn't just say you're going to go through all Israel preaching this. He doesn't say like, well, go to all the synagogues and preach this.
Right.
He says repentance for forgiveness of sins is going to be proclaimed in his name in all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
Right.
So here we are, 2015. We're in northern Ohio. We've heard about repentance and the forgiveness of sin in his name.
Right.
It wasn't just for those people. It wasn't just for the synagogues that were in the land. It's mm-hmm. for us here. It's for the people who live in Bolivia. It's for the people that live in Norway. Yeah. It's going to be preached in all the nations. In other words, the Gentiles are going to get this too. And it's all about him.
Yeah.
And all these things that came in the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms explained how he was going to do this and how this message was going to be for everyone. This is what everything pointed to, that this was how the law was going to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So he says, now you guys, I hope you guys get this now.
Yeah. Because if we read back in John 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying for this very thing. He says, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, you know, you mentioned with Thomas, you know, we didn't see Jesus with his wounds, right. but we believe.
But we believe, yeah.
You know, believing, as we've talked about so many times, and as you all know, it's not something that you just figure out in your head. It's you hear it, you think about it, the Holy Spirit says, yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is working now, just like he was then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't stop working in the year 100.
Right.
You know, he didn't say, well, okay, now I'm done with what I'm doing. He's been working this whole time,
mm-hmm.
and he's been showing people the cross this whole time. And you can think, if you're a non-believer or you're a secular person or you're somebody who goes to church once in a while, you can think, yeah, you know, the cross, that was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, that was, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's like old news. Yeah, but what the Holy Spirit says is, yes, it was 2,000 years ago, but this is how you're saved.
Well, see, I think what we miss is what we, you know, if you go to a Seder meal, and I know you had a few of them this past year.
Yeah, I've had about enough matzah for a while.
Well, as important as matzah is, it is important because it has to be unleavened bread. What's really important about understanding this in the Seder is that it's always remembered in the first person.
Yes.
And this is something that we have forgotten.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because every year from when the Israelites were delivered from bondage of, you know, slavery in Egypt under the rule of Pharaoh, I was delivered out of Egypt.
Yep.
This night I was delivered out of
yep.
Egypt. This night I was year after year, generation after generation, mm-hmm. even, you know, the son is there, the father is there, the grandfather is there, and maybe the great grandfather is there.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them say, this night I was delivered out of bondage to Egypt.
Yeah.
I was delivered from slavery. We don't say, this night I was delivered from slavery to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we should.
We should.
This day I was delivered from slavery to sin because he's resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the importance of this.
Yes.
And if it's merely an event that happened 2,000 years ago and I disconnect myself from it,
mm-hmm.
you're missing the whole point.
Exactly.
And in a large fashion, Christianity has done that.
Yes.
We've disconnected ourselves. We remember it, and we want the personal relationship with Jesus and all this, but it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because on this night, I was delivered from slavery to sin.
Yes.
And that's really what it's about.
That's what it's about. And this is why in the law, this is why in Exodus, God tells Moses to tell the people, you have to tell the story as if you personally came out of Egypt.
Yes.
Because if you say, oh, those guys, oh yeah, those people, oh yeah, those people that were there, those slaves that were there, it's a whole different story than saying,
yeah,
when I was a slave in Egypt, when we were delivered from Egypt, when I went out into the wilderness, when the Red Sea parted and I walked through it.
Right.
It's a whole different thing because, mm-hmm. as you point out, the parallel of it is the cross, because we're delivered from slavery to sin.
Yep.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
Just like the Passover Lamb's blood led to the deliverance of the people from physical slavery.
Right.
But we have to go individually, one person, ourselves, to the cross.
Right.
I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. We
right.
can't repent for all the people that are at the ballpark or the gym or the work or wherever it is. Each mm-hmm. person has to go individually right. to the cross.
Right.
And this is why God wanted the people to tell the story in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, which Jesus refers to twice, every person had to look at it in order to be saved from the poison.
Right.
I couldn't say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to stay in the tent. You go look for me and just, you know, just go tell Moses you're looking for me too.
Yeah.
No, you have to go and see
right.
because it's a prefigurement of the cross. It's a prefigurement of what the cure for the disease is.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this is exactly, like you said, what the Passover was.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we can't pray for people.
Sure.
Or that we can't intercede on their behalf.
Sure.
But we ultimately have to come before the Lord, because there's a relationship there. You know, God wants to have this relationship with us.
Yeah.
He, you know, that even in our sin, he would lay down his life for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And the resurrection is the proof of that. Mm-hmm. When the people came out of the wilderness, went into the land was the proof of everything that had happened.
Right.
The resurrection is the proof of everything that we know has happened.
Amen.
Whew. Second break already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. There's all kinds of stuff there. We'll be right back.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to Him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely You bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, that's awesome.
That's an awesome song.
You know, and this is resurrection. You know, He's risen from the grave, mm-hmm. as we've been talking about. And Paul says, you know, death, where is your sting? Death, where's your victory? Because now that's all swallowed up in His victory. You know,
right.
Death is swallowed up.
Yeah, because Christ is victorious over
right.
sin and death.
That's right. and he died to sin once for all, as Paul talks about in Romans. And he, so we can be saved, even though we have this fleshly existence and we have this kind of defective nature and mindset that's, you know, we're always dragging along with us.
Right.
But we are, you know, most human beings, their biggest fear is to die.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, some of it is a healthy fear because we're made to live.
Right.
And so any animal has the preservation of life thing. I mean, any animal will try to preserve its life. We'll try to preserve our life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to sit inside a burning building and say, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll just die in this building. You're going to try to get out.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you're in some kind of danger, you're going to try to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for sure. But death is something that we fear. You know, we call it, we make up all kinds of names for it. You know, he's passed away.
Right.
You know, he's left us, or, you know, all these other,
moved on.
Yeah, he's moved on. You know, he's gone moved to the on. Next world. And because we don't want to talk about death. And interestingly, because of the cross and the resurrection, we're delivered from that. We still have to face a physical death. And Satan likes to keep reminding us of that. You know, he wants us to talk about our body. He wants us to talk about our physical shell.
Right.
You know, take care of yourself, and you should take care of yourself. Have fun. Make your body happy. Here you are. You know, you don't want to be sad and wussy like those believers are. Don't you want to have some fun? You know, think about your clay shell, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says we're clay pots, clay vessels with glory inside. And Satan wants you to think about the clay vessel and not think about the glory that's inside.
Exactly.
And this is a big thing with the resurrection, because, you know, Paul talks about if we die with Christ, we're going to live with him. We're going to reign with him, because he's raised from the dead bodily, because the resurrection is bodily, he's not going to die anymore. Death doesn't have any dominion over him.
Right.
So that is applied to us to make us alive, even though someday our physical body is going to die.
Right.
You know, to a non-believer, dying is, I don't even know what you want to call it. It's like a hopeless thing.
Yeah.
It's died. But to us, you say, well, we're sad somebody died, but if they're in heaven now with God and the angels and the saints, we say, hey, you know, I miss him here, but, you know, I'm really glad he's there.
Yeah.
We don't have a hopeless death.
Well, that's why Paul says, you know, we don't grieve like those who have no hope.
Yes, exactly.
We believe that we are going to be united with that, our loved ones, in the resurrection.
Yeah.
You know, in the resurrection of our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, you know, we're in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how we're going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. Because he talks about how he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, like that song just said,
mm-hmm.
and he's become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. First fruits is the feast day that he rose on. It's one of the seven feasts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul refers to this and says, Christ rising from the dead has become the first fruits.
Exactly.
So we're going to do it too. You know, the Old Testament saints were, you know, brought into heaven then.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Moses is going to have his glorified body back.
Right.
Eventually, you know, Joe Schmo, who dies 20 years from now, if we're still here, is going to have his body join him wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the first fruits. We're all going to do it later. We're all going to do it at some other time. But he says, everyone in the proper order, Christ first, and then everybody else.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So this is all because of the death and the resurrection. This puts the whole progression of human existence in a whole different paradigm. It isn't a matter of we die, somebody buries us, we decay, we turn back into dust. And then once in a while, somebody says, oh yeah, I remember old Phil, you know, but that's a hopeless situation.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, our old selves, and again, this is what, you know, Jesus came to do, was to give us life and have it, that we would have it more abundantly. And what more, or what, in what more abundance can we have life? You mm-hmm. know, if we think about our life on the earth, well, I've got a nice car, I've got a nice house, I've got wife and kids, you know, I've got a pretty good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the abundance of life that Jesus is talking about is the fullness of being with the Father mm-hmm. and the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and being in the presence of God for all of eternity to see His glory and His majesty.
Mm-hmm.
And to just be in the presence of God's love. And you know, we can't even describe it. If you look in the book of Revelation, there is glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But you also saw glimpses of it when Isaiah was in the temple,
mm-hmm.
when Jesus was on Mount Tabor,
mm-hmm.
and when Moses saw, or when God passed by Moses on Mount Sinai,
yeah,
you know, he was transformed.
Yeah.
He was transfigured. Moses, they had to put a veil over his face because he was so bright. And what is, you know, what does Peter see when he sees Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah?
Mm.
He was dazzling white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so are we not going to see that when we're with him in heaven?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and everything else that's described in the book of Revelation, you know, the gold roads or floors,
yeah.
they're pure as glass.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no impurities.
No impurities. Crystal water flowing.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the end of the show already.
Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that by the power of Christ's resurrection, He would open your minds and your hearts to the truth of His resurrection and the glory of His kingdom, for He lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.